Let's get into today's message. I want to talk to you on this last Sunday of the Prayer Priority series, a message that will hopefully wrap this whole prayer focus up in a message called Hurt, Hope, and Trust. Hurt, Hope, and Trust. Elizabeth and Jim were a young couple in their 20s. They were passionate for God, graduates of Bible seminary, and wanting to do something for God that was extraordinary. Wanting to not just go with the flow of the crowd and get a 9-to-5 job, but to really give their lives in everything that they could. Jim had four friends, Nate, Roger, Pete, and Ed. And those five young men decided that they wanted to give their hearts and their all for God. All of them married, some of them with children. The five young men began to pray and felt God's leading to go to people that had never been reached before. People that did not know that there was a God and that there was a person named Jesus. They did some research and found an area in the Amazon basin, in the Amazon jungles of the country of Ecuador. And they realized that there was a group of people there called the Aka Indians. This tribe was primitive, living as if it were hundreds and even thousands of years ago. They had no knowledge of Jesus Christ. They were known as a dangerous tribe. Even you might call them vicious. It's very dangerous, very warlike. But God directed Jim and his four friends to go and to minister to these. Nate was a pilot, so they took his small plane. They began to make passes over the area where they had discovered that this tribe lived. And they would drop gifts, and over the course of weeks and months, began to slowly build a rapport through the dropping of these gifts with the Aka tribesmen. On January 3rd, 1956, they found a little opening on what they called Palm Beach on the Kururai River. They dropped their plane down and made their first personal contact with the Aka tribes. That day, they met two women and one man. They began to engage, and they even were able to coax the three to go up in the plane and to circle the area. Well, on January 8th, just 5 days after that first contact, the five wives of these five men got the news that all five of them had been murdered on the shores of the Kururai. Now, if you're Elizabeth, you can ask, why, God? What is this? We did everything you asked us to do. We obeyed you in every way. We prayed, we were sure, we heard your voice, we understood your word, and we were doing everything according to your plan. If that's the case, God, why did this happen? If anybody has a reason to cry out, why, God, it'd be Elizabeth. Have you ever been hurt by God? Disappointed by God? Let down by God? You prayed and things didn't occur the way you thought they should. You prayed and things didn't work out. You were confident that you made connection with God, but yet the results weren't what you thought they would be. Not only were they not what you thought they'd be, they were hurtful, painful, disappointing. You ever been there? Maybe in the chat line, you can ask this question and write it down. Have you ever been hurt by God? And if so, why? Now, I know there's not room to write big stories, but I think you'll find as you interact with each other as I'm speaking that many of us have felt those why God feelings. God, what's going on? I don't understand. Well, 30 years later, Elizabeth was speaking at a chapel service while I was in Bible school. And I sat and listened to her being interviewed. When asked the question, Elizabeth, after all you've been through, after all the pain, after all the struggle with those early years and your hopes just seeming to be, you know, crushed, what would you say to people about how to live the Christian life going through the hardships you've been through. And Elizabeth didn't bat an eye. She didn't even wait a moment. She says, oh, that's simple. There's just one word, and it's trust. Trust. Today I want to speak to you about trust in the midst of hurt, trust that can give you hope, that the answer for us today is that word, trust. In the Bible, there's a passage that's one of the most well-loved passages, and if you ask people what their life verses are, they very well may come up with these verses in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. They read this way, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit or acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Maybe that's some of your life verses. You know, it's interesting, or it's rather comforting to think that, yes, I can acknowledge God in all my ways. I can trust Him and acknowledge Him and lean not on my understanding, but His. When we think the straight path He is talking about is a path of comfort, or is a path of ease, or is a path where there is no pain and there is no disappointment. Well, I want to tell you that the straight path that God has for us is not necessarily a pain-free path. It's not necessarily a disappointment-free path. But it is this path that's straight. It's a path that God will lead you on. And that if you follow, there won't be twists and turns in a confusing way, but it will be a solid, direct, straight path. We've been talking a lot about prayer these last 6 weeks. The prayer pattern, how to pray properly, the way Jesus taught us to, how to pray boldly, how to pray persistently, the prayers that God won't answer, the prayers that God will answer. But even all in the midst of that, sometimes we pray right, we pray with a pure heart, we pray persistent, yet we find ourselves in a hurtful situation. We ask, why God? I wonder what we would say to a person like Elizabeth. How would we talk to her in the face of such great pain? But you know, I think it might be better not to think about what we would tell a person like her, but what would a person like her tell us? And we're reminded of Elizabeth's words. Trust. Trust. That's all there is. I want to give you three reasons today why we need to trust God. Three reasons why we need to trust God. Number one, we trust God because He has a broader perspective. He has a broader perspective. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says this, He knows more about everyone, everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide, open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from Him. God knows everything. He's got a broader perspective. He knows what we don't know. Matter of fact, He's beyond time. And so picture like being in a great blimp above a parade route. And while you're down on the ground, all you can see is each individual, you know, marching band or float passing by. But from a blimp's eye view, you see the beginning, the middle, and the end of the parade all at the same time. That's God. He's got that broader perspective. Now in the Bible, there are so many mysteries. So many of those, you know, why God moments in the Bible. One of them that I draw to mind is out of Acts chapter 12. It's this powerful passage where the disciples are being persecuted. And James, the brother of John, he gets taken by King Herod and he gets murdered, executed. And when the people rejoice that these Jesus followers are getting persecuted, they go and they arrest Peter as well. Well, Peter's in prison, but Peter, through a miraculous move of God, is released from prison. And there's an earthquake comes, and his chains shake, and the doors open, and Peter walks out free. And I ask myself, God, what's that about? James gets executed. Peter gets miraculously set free. Now, we focus on the Peter part. Oh, what a great miracle. God is so good. Well, I wonder if James' family were rejoicing about how good God is when they just buried their son or father or brother just days prior. It's one of those why God moments. Why does one get free and one passes away? In Jeremiah, it's the same thing, that the enemies of God's people came and began to put to death the prophets of God. Yet Jeremiah was spared. Why? Why are some put to death and yet others spared? Job is probably the poster child of the why God question. We read the book of Job and find that God allows things, terrible things, to happen to Job. And he loses 10 children in the process of losing his livestock, his possessions, everything, even his health. Now we read the end of the story and say, oh, well, it all turned out good, right? I mean, he had more children and he got more wealth and all of that. Well, here's what I know. It may have been nice to have children later, but it never soothed the missing of the children that passed away. If I lost my kids, even if I had more kids later, it would still not make me feel better about the ones I miss. Why God? Why God? That's the mystery. The issue here is that God has a broader perspective. We don't know all the twists and turns. We don't know what happens tomorrow. We don't know what's even happening today. A lot of our anxiety during this pandemic really is a result of our fear that we don't know. That this is a new virus. This is a new thing that's coming. And we don't really know how it all works and how to cure it and how to manage through it. And it's that unknown that we just don't have enough information that drives us to places that are difficult. We don't know. Can I tell you this morning that God knows? He's got a broader perspective. He knew how to guide Jim and Elizabeth. He knew how to walk them through. He knew what was going to happen to them. He knew. But yet he allowed it in his good purposes. You see, that day on the Kurari, Jim and Nate, Pete, Ed and Roger, they didn't lose their lives. They weren't lost to us. We know exactly where they are. As soon as they breathed their last, they were in the presence of the living God. They're not lost. You know, we've lost some people here at Abundant Life over the years. Some young, vibrant, wonderful people. Some people with great passion. Some people we prayed for deeply and fervently. And yet, they still passed into eternity. And we think, oh God, was that a failure? Was there something wrong with our prayer? Was there something wrong with us? I know that God wants to say, it's okay. I've got a broader perspective. They're with me now. Here's one thing that's a fact. That there's a day that's going to be my last day. There's a day that's going to be your last day. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to see those again. I'm going to meet Jim and Nate and Pete. And I'm going to meet again those that we've had pass on here at Abundant Life. God has a broader perspective. It's better than ours. It's bigger than ours. It's broader than ours. We've got to trust that God has that broader perspective. There's a prayer I'd like us to pray. Point number one. Simply this. And you might want to bow your heads and pray this with me. Well, close your eyes, but watch the screen as the words come across. But pray this prayer. Lord, help me to trust you, that you have a broader perspective, even if I can't see it. I choose to trust you because you love me, and you promise to always be with me, even when life gets hard. Life's going to get hard sometimes. Jesus said it would. He said, but take heart, I've overcome the world. He's got a broader perspective. Well, number two, trust God because he has a better plan. And God's plan is based on his perspective. God knows what we don't know, so he has a plan that goes along with what he knows that we don't. God has a better plan. Jim and Elizabeth had a one-year-old daughter when Jim passed away. Their lives were filled with dreams and visions of what they would do together and how they would raise their children. And it was just a beautiful beginning. They had desires and wants, and those wants were all about serving God. But yet, it didn't happen the way they thought. It all ended there with Jim being martyred on the Kururai River. Well, 2 years later, Elizabeth and now their 3-year-old daughter and Nate's sister Rachel, they went back to the Aka Indians, to the very same people who killed their men. And they stayed there for 3 years. In the time they stayed with the tribe, almost the entire tribe came to Jesus, and most of the murderers, the men who took their family members, most of them came to Jesus as well. You see, God's plan is always better than our plan. It doesn't mean it's an easy plan. It doesn't mean it's a plan that we will always enjoy. And if we knew His plan, we might not be willing to go through it. But it's a better plan. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 to 40 says this: "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better." In your homes this morning, why don't you just say with me, something better. Say it again, something better. Church, God has something better. He always has something better than we can dream or imagine. God says no mind can conceive, no eye can perceive, no ear can hear what God has in store for us. He always has a better plan. He's a good God, and He's a good Father. In the chat line, maybe you can think about this question and write in your answer. Would you be content if God never ever blessed you again or never answered another prayer, as long as you knew without a doubt that you'd be with Him someday in heaven for all of eternity? Would you be content going through hard times now if you knew without a doubt there was a better plan? Now, I want to tell you, He does have a better plan. So we can live through whatever He brings our way or allows our way today. That verse I read you is in context, Hebrews chapter 11, of the great chapter of faith. It starts out with all of these champions who did mighty things, and God did mighty things through them. Abraham, Noah, Moses, these people that you just go, you know, God did great things. And there wasn't even time enough to talk about David and Gideon and Samuel and some of these other, you know, mighty, mighty men of valor and faith who hungered after God. And there's all these people that we go, yeah, that's what I want to be like. I want to see God work. But then I read you the passage that there were others. There were others who didn't get the promise. Many others. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were beaten. They were flogged. They were left destitute. They lived in holes in the ground. They went hungry. They were imprisoned. I don't know about you. I really gravitate toward the first group of people. I don't necessarily gravitate toward those who struggled. But yet God said their faith was no different. God just had a better plan. And it says that the world was not worthy of those people. That He has a better plan by bringing them together with us. There will be a time of great rejoicing. God didn't say the world was not worthy of Abraham. He didn't say the world was not worthy of Moses or Noah. He said the world was not worthy of those who still had faith, even though they didn't see the promise. Trust. Trust. Jesus said to Thomas, when he reached his hand inside of Jesus' wounds on his side and his hands and his feet, and Thomas said, "I believe now." And Jesus said, "Yeah, you believe because you saw me. But blessed are those who do not see but still believe." God is calling us to trust today, church, that He has a better plan. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't understand what God is doing, He has a better plan. Last year, Steve Gullickson, Pastor Steve and I, we worked hard and we prayed and we sought God for a children's pastor. And there were 3-4 occasions, we thought, oh, this person's perfect. This is the one. This is the one we want. We're ready to hire this person, only to have them come and say, we're not coming. We're going to reject the job and not come to Abundant Life. And I can just tell you without a doubt, there were some moments where we're going, man, God, what's going on? What's happening? But we're consistent in this, that we look at each other and say, you know, if this is a no, then God has a great yes for us. Now, that's why it's so wonderful to introduce to you to Pastor Angela, because we believe that she's God's great yes for us. She's not the Savior. She's not, the one who's just going to come. But she's God's provision. She's God's answer to our prayer. We needed this person and God provided. Even after many, many times of a no, a no, a no, a no. Because God's timing was right. His plan was better. And we always need to trust God's plan. Would the Aka Indians know Jesus today if it wasn't for a broader perspective and a better plan? I don't know. God only knows. But when we follow Him, even when it's hard, we follow Him in trust. And we trust that He knows what we don't know, and we trust that His plan is better than ours. Here's a trust prayer about a better plan. You might pray this with me. Lord, help me to trust Your plan for my life. I do have hopes and I have dreams, but I know Your plans are better than mine. And I choose to trust You for my future, and I submit all my plans to You. That's a good daily prayer. Trust Him. His plan is better. And number 3, trust God because He has a bigger purpose. Trust God because He has a bigger purpose. God's perspective leads God to a better plan. And that better plan is based on a bigger purpose. God has bigger things going on than we can even imagine. Why would the Aka Indians allow Elizabeth and Rachel and Elizabeth's young daughter, why would they even allow them to come and live with them for 3 years? Why didn't they just take their lives like they took them in? What changed? What was the difference maker in the previous versus the latter? Well, there's part of the story that was unknown until Nate's son, Stephen, made a drama documentary called The End of the Spear that came out quite a few years ago. You may have seen it. And in that documentary, he begins to speak to some of those men who murdered the 5 missionaries. And there was an awkwardness about their conversation because they knew a secret that nobody else knew, that they hadn't told anybody else. That day on the Kururai River, they swore that they would not talk about what they saw that day. But after they had come to Jesus Christ, they began to tell the story. That when they brought their spears and their machetes that day down to the river, the 5 missionaries, they were armed, but they didn't pull their weapons. They instead submitted their lives to the Aka tribesmen. And as they killed them one by one by one, they saw something that they didn't expect. They saw beings, big, giant beings, aglow, dressed like mighty warriors, surrounding that palm beach as the executions were occurring. Witnesses to the act, almost as if declaring that the ground where this horrible act was happening was holy ground. That scene caused them to become aware that there was something bigger going on than what they could ever imagine. And they kept that a secret amongst themselves, never to speak of it. I wonder if that was a reason why later on when Elizabeth and Rachel came back to the Aka tribe, that they had remembered and they knew there was something bigger. There was something beyond. There was something supernatural. And so they allowed these people to come and to begin to minister to them. God only knows. But what we do know is he had a greater purpose. Probably the most repeated verse about God's purpose is Romans 8:28. And it's a verse that often gets misused and often gets treated tritely, that we just kind of throw it out there to try to bring comfort to people. But it's really, really a powerful verse. And it reads this way: "And we know that in all things God works together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose." And we know, that's trust. We know. Do we know the future? No, but I know the one who does, and I trust it. Do we know the plan going forward? Not necessarily, but I know the one who has a better plan, and I trust it. Do we know how all this is going to work out? Not exactly, but I know the one who has a greater purpose, and I trust him. And we know that God works. I don't work. I don't put it all together. God does. The one with the broader perspective, the better plan, the bigger purpose. He knows. And he works all things. Not that everything is good, but he's able to bring all things together and work good to those who are called according to his purpose. Not called according to my purpose. It's not my purpose. God's not called to my purpose, even though I want to call him to mine. I want to make a decision and say, God, bless my purpose. God, do what I want you to do. God, bless my efforts. And God says, no, you've got it backwards. It's my purpose. I've called you according to my purpose. And when God calls us to his purpose, all things work together for good, because nothing can thwart God's purpose. It's a great purpose. What good can possibly come out of the murder of five men just trying to bring the message of Jesus to lost people? Well, the good that can come out of that is that not only is that whole tribe saved, but the story's been told now for 60, 70 years, and people have come to know Jesus as a result of that story. God is good. He's got a broader perspective. He's got a better plan. He's got a bigger purpose. Probably the most amazing why God moment happened this week, 2,000 years ago. When after living a life of the miraculous, this Jesus that some praised him as the Messiah, some wanted to kill him because he challenged their religiosity.